Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Get so scared about fear, and we want to push it away. We contract our gut. We have this, you know, gnawing feeling in our solar plexus all the time, and we push it away. We keep it at arm's length. You sit over there, fear, and don't you come close to me. I don't want to see you. I don't want to talk to you. But what I want people to do is start to embrace their fear. You know, call it forward. Okay, Mr. Fear, Mrs. Fear, come on, come on, come on. Let's walk arm in arm. Now, I know you're going to teach me something. What is it that I need to learn from you? And it diffuses the energy around fear so that it is not overpowering us, but empowering us. And that's the journey of enlightenment, to be empowered, to take back our life from the outer world, to bring it to the inner world. And how can we become full of ourselves? Not from an ego arrogance place, you know, like I'm better than you are, but it's this awareness, this fullness that grows from our heart outward. You know, it's like all our cells are puffed up with love, and we're just full of ourselves. I know that sounds very bizarre, but that's how I live my life. I live my life in a different genre, in a different world.
Mm-hmm.
I'm contained with inside of myself. There's very little that I need in the outer world. And when I do need it, it simply comes to my awareness, to my presence, whatever is that I need at that particular time. So instead of making fear and confusion so confusing and so scary, I encourage you to just bring fear to you and say, let's build a relationship. So if you're going to drive off the end of that road and it's dangerous, fear is going to jump up and say, no, don't turn there. But most times we put so much energy into fear that it becomes this huge mountain when it was only this little anthill, and it doesn't deserve all that power. So that's step number one.
I love what you're talking about. I want to take a minute to make sure everybody has your website, Paula. Let's take a minute to give out your website and to let people know about the upcoming event, and then I'm going to give the phone numbers out again. So why don't we take a minute so that people can find out more about you.
Okay. Do you want me to say my website?
Absolutely.
Okay. It's Paula Moran, MURAN.com. Again, that's Paula, PAULA, Moran, MURAN.com. Or you could reach me at 866-231-0023, a toll-free number.
And, you know, one of the things I want everybody to know is that if you go to Paula's website, you know, you'll find out lots of information. There's lots of information about her book, about her products, and about the work that she does. For tonight, if you have a question, if you want to connect with her right here live, if there's something heavy on your mind and you want some clarity, I'd love for you to give us a call. You can call toll-free, 888-815-9756. 888-815-9756, or if you want to dial in direct, 530-876-3222. We're taking your calls. Get your question ready. Paula is here to help all of us get ready, set, go for that awakening experience. I want to talk with you a minute about spirituality, Paula. And I know that this is a term that my own journey, I really had to understand. I had to get to the place where I wasn't confused anymore between different terms that I had grown up with. And I wanted to ask you a question about spirituality and spiritual practice. And is it kind of going to be like those that have a practice will get awakened and those that don't won't? Or is it something more complex than that?
I think it's more simple than that.
Say thank you.
Yes, I think it's more simple than that because you are the practice. If a person doesn't love themselves, which is just basic, you know, consciousness, okay? So the whole practice of awakening is loving yourself unconditionally with no yeah buts or what ifs or what's going to happen, no question. So how can we keep our heart open without fearing it, without saying, you know, I have this phrase that I say to my clients, the yeah but syndrome. People always say to me, oh, I have my heart open, yeah, but it's, you know, it doesn't stay open all the time, but it stays open sometimes. Or I'll keep my heart open, but what if somebody comes and hurts me? Well, if you believe that nobody's more powerful than you and nobody can really hurt you, it's a choice. And then people have to make a choice if they want to be hurt or they don't want to be hurt. So I take spirituality and make it very simple, very, very simple. It's all about you. If we open our hearts and keep it open and stay vulnerable, we're on the path to enlightenment. And silence the mind, number two, keep the mind silent. You know, in Buddhism, they teach mantra in that they believe that a person has to say mantra a lot, you know, a million times to change a pattern. And, of course, I'm not asking you to, you know, count the times you say mantra. But, you know, it's not saying it three times. That shifts the pattern out. But it's that awareness, you know, keeping the mind at peace. You know, most people have a, you know, running tally going on in their mind. And it's just keeping that silence. It calms the physical body. It makes everything relax in the body. It's almost like taking a Valium, and I don't encourage that at all, but magnesium. Magnesium relaxes the body. And so it's that process. It's the simplicity of the journey, not the complexity of the journey that awakens the person.
Wow.
You know, like in, what's the thing, Buddha. Mm-hmm. Buddha, you know, traveled, what, for 40 years, his story was, and then he came, he sat under the banyan tree, and he realized himself, I am that I am. I am all things to me, to himself. And that's the realization of the self.
And, you know, I want to follow up with that because, you know, I love that you talked about simplicity, and yet many of the things that I hear on a day-to-day basis, certainly from the many guests that I have on and the listeners, is that, you know, my gosh, I mean, we are in such a high-tech or highly stimulated environment right now that it's very, very difficult for me to talk to my children about what it means to be quiet, because being quiet to them means that they could text message and not really have anybody pay attention to them. I mean, we have such an interesting, you know, platform right now in front of us, huge, infinite possibilities. And yet on the one hand, we have older generations, and I'm going to generalize for a minute, but I don't believe in generalizations. We have people that are trying to raise children facing this challenge of, wow, I don't think my children are connected anymore. And yet on the other hand, you have the children saying, we are more connected than you ever were. I mean, is this really paradoxical? Or are we moving into times where we have to really look at the infinite possibilities and acknowledge the space for each person?
Well, what the text messaging world is doing is, yes, your children are saying that they're more connected, but they're connected to their outer world. So they're more connected to the outer world, not so connected to their inner world. We are moving away from connecting to our inner world by mm-hmm. all this technology, and that's the purpose of it, is to keep us separated. So it creates a separation that, yes, technically we are, you know, with Facebook and Twitter, and we have this network of all these people and who's got the most followers and stuff. We're connected to all those people, but it's taking us away from our center. It's like Kathy. It's pulling us further and further away from our wholeness. And in this lifetime, we will experience the furthest we are from our totality, our perfection state. And then energetically, like a rubber band, it'll snap, and we will have to come back to our wholeness. And I'm not saying that to scare anybody. And it isn't scary. It is not a fearful situation. But we are creating more of separation by you know, being so tech and all that tech stuff going on. But you can still have that tech awareness, but not be so manipulated by it. We can keep the oneness. You can keep your wholeness, the attachment to it. It's just like, you know, an enlightened person can have a Mercedes. It's their attachment to that car that really is the issue. Does that car define me, or do I define myself?
So I think that is a very interesting question because, you know, even in the title tonight of the show, and we're talking about enlightenment, certainly people talk about consciousness, there's almost this sense that it is, quote, the enlightenment or the consciousness, like this is something, some software program that's, you know, on a shelf, it's canned. And so the question I ask you is, you know, what is the true nature of awakening and enlightenment from your perspective?
The true nature of it is knowing my inner self, my true self.
Which is personal, not generic.
Correct. There is no, you know, like I said earlier, we can't go to one event. You know, we can't go all up to Mount Shasta or someplace and then attend a workshop and bang, we're all enlightened. It will not happen. It's a personal experience. And that's why the title of the workshop at the Awakening Conference is Awaken to Your Enlightenment, because it is your experience. And wherever you are on your spiritual path, doesn't matter if you've been doing yoga for, you know, 35 years or not have done anything, I can teach you practices that will help the person align to wherever they are on their journey to their enlightenment. And it is a very personal experience, and it is a process. It doesn't happen overnight. Well, it could happen overnight, but we don't believe, the consciousness doesn't believe it just yet. So it can happen in a split second, and it has happened in a split second in the past. However, it takes a belief to do that. So is that awareness, that process, you know, working through? And it isn't, a lot of times, especially in the metaphysical community, they say, you know, a lot of people believe that one moment they're not enlightened, the next moment they are enlightened. Like it's this, you know, going to the Academy Awards, you know, it's like the drum roll and everything, boom, okay, the bell rings off, I'm enlightened. It isn't that way. It's very gentle. It's this unfolding. It's like the heart opening. I describe this as like eating an artichoke. You know, we pluck the outer layers. The outer layers of that artichoke have nourishment on them. The outer layers of us have nourishment on them. We learn by plucking those outer layers of ourselves, of our fears away. And what's the most incredible thing about that artichoke is the heart. And that is what we're doing, is getting to the heart of ourselves. It is peeling the layers of the heart that is so nourishing to the self. So most people hide their heart. You know, they hide their heart behind their house or their car or their job or their identity, their title. You know, there's so many ways to hide their armor, the food they eat, the people they associate with. But who is that person beyond all that? That's what my greatest gift is finding that person beyond all that stuff and pulling them like a T-shirt inside out. And now let's start the journey to the self. Now let's start the journey onto the spiritual path. That is the enlightening process.
You know, Paula, I love the way you speak about this. For those of you just tuning in, Paula Moran joining me here today, you know, I love the way you're talking about this. I've never really thought about it from the perspective of, yes, eating an artichoke. Each piece is so yummy and delicious on its own, and yet there is this place that you know you're going to get to, which provides the prize behind all of this. I wanted to ask you about a couple of different things, and they're all related. From my own life experience, I think at some level I've always had sort of, and I'm just going to call it a knowing for now, because I don't know what else to call it. And, you know, in the outer world, most people would have looked at the career I've had and say she was very, very successful. And then there comes a shock to the system, and a lot of people are getting shocked right now. Whether it's a job loss, and many of my listeners have heard me talk about my own experience, whether it's the loss of a loved one, whether it's a near-death experience, it's a shock. And I wanted to ask you, these shocks that happen in our lives, I have two parts to the question. Do you believe they are, quote, destiny for certain people, in that we're kind of getting a wake-up call, in a sense, so that we can create the unfolding? Or is this just, you know, life is happening?
I believe it's number A, that it's a wake-up call, because as a medical intuitive, I see people getting sicker and sicker, and that is their wake-up call. Most people's journeys, and I could read the soul script, you know, the Akashic Records.
Uh-huh.
I have access to the Akashic Records. So in most situations, it's no one has really destiny to be ill or to have, a lot of tragedy in a life. So it is a wake-up call. And the only way we pay attention as a culture is if it's grand. You know, if there's, you know, something really going on, like the physical body's falling apart or a death of a loved one or a job situation, because then we're mostly like on autopilot. We don't pay attention to that subtlety of spirit. Spirit is very subtle. It comes in the most mundane times. That knowingness of yours comes when you are mostly silent or, you know, walking the dog or playing with your children, not when you're sitting there wanting the answer. Spirit is never on our demand. They come when we are quiet, when we're doing something, you know, cleaning the house, vacuuming, or taking a shower. How many people have you talked to who said, you know, in the shower, I get the most intuitive things?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Right. So it is this awakening, these wake-up calls that are so essential right now. And it is helping people do an about-face, because, you know, they sat in a workshop and I told them that this is what their real true life path is, you know, they say, you know, forget it. I have a career going on here. Who are you to tell me that I'm going to change my life? And so the only way that they can be empowered is by having these cosmic wake-up calls.
Wow. I wanted to ask you about what you said about illness. And, you know, there are two things I'm so love to hear about from you. And one of them is, do you think, A, that we are having more and more disease happen to people than ever before? And the other thing is, what are you seeing in people when it comes to an illness? Are you seeing patterns? I mean, and I'm not talking about the swine flu. I'm talking about general chronic things that are begging for us to pay attention. What has been your perspective?
I would say that we are seeing more disease. The disease factor has always been pretty much the same. People just keep getting sick because they're out of balance. In my world, how I see that is that they're out of balance. Biggest complaint that I experience in people is their eating habits and what that does to them. Causes an overgrowth of candida and a lot of fatigue.
Mm.
People are very exhausted all the way down to the bone. I hear that over and over again. People can't get up off the couch. They have no motivation. The no motivation piece is an adrenal issue. Our adrenals give us hope and motivation to get up and go and do something. And then, you know, people don't have the discipline because their body feels heavy, which is a liver issue. And so we have toxic liver, we have the gut. I get so many constipation issues and their irritable bowel because of the stress level, eating on the run, eating bad combination of food, eating too much food. You know, we're a society of Big Macs, big drinks, all of that. Eating a big steak and then having iced tea with, you know, the ice kills all the enzymes in the stomach.
So, uh-huh.
It's the eating, you know, what we put in doesn't always come out, and that's what toxifies the body.
So what is the next step? Because there for me, there is, you know, this message of cleansing. I'm hearing it all over the place. We read about it. Doctors are recommending it. You go on the Internet, and there is cleanse, 600 ways to do it. I thought about this in two ways. I mean, truly, there is, you know, this idea of cleansing the body. But is there, you know, is this a metaphor in general for us?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. It is that what we talked about with your children about texting, you know, we're moving away from the self and being so in the tech world. We're moving away, but really honoring, having quiet time. Maybe with your children, you can have a quiet time. You know, everybody puts down their cell phone and they can't text for an hour, and you do a meditation with your kids. So it's a way of coming back to that wholeness, that simple, the simplicity of it all, and not being so stretched, because we're so stretched by everything that's going on. We're exhausting the system and not giving the system time to recoup. And the cleansing, the thing about cleansing, I'm a huge proponent of cleansing only like in springtime, in the fall time. Summer's too hot, winter's too cold. And never back-to-back cleanses. You know, 5 days on a cleanse and 2 weeks off a cleanse. 5 days on a cleanse, 2 weeks off a cleanse. Otherwise, it really exhausts. The physical body can't handle it. And I'm a really big proponent of not so many supplements. The body can't heal when there's a lot of supplements. And that toxifies the system. It leaches minerals out of the bone. So, you know, in the long run, especially as we age and we have this stressful lifestyle, it, you know, the body's going to break down faster. And we don't, you know, that's where the disease factor comes in. And, you know, my clients come because all their life they've eaten, you know, fast food or whatever, and now they're having all these symptoms. And it's, you know, healing. We have to heal the whole picture. We have to heal the emotional body and the physical body.
You know, Paula, I wanted to ask you, and boy, this hour has really flown by. I want to make sure that all of you listening, you have Paula's website, because there's lots that you're going to want to learn about. You can go to paulamoran.com, and it is Paula, M-U-R-A-N.com. And the reason that I want to direct you there is because, you know, Paula is the creator and the producer of some of the best-selling guided meditation CDs around. In addition to that, Paula, you also take people to the most beautiful, beautiful places. And I wanted to ask you about that. I mean, sometimes, yeah, I feel like I can sit here and I have a beautiful, beautiful space to meditate and light candles and be with myself in that quiet time. Other times, I feel like I really do need to get out of the zip code, you know, to go to a place where I can experience that awakening, that aha moment. So I wanted to ask you about that and the work you do and then the trips that you take people on.
Yes, I'm going to Peru. We just had a shift in our dates. They were supposed to be in August, and we just shifted it for the equinox in the fall just today. So the date has shifted to September 12th to the 26th. And we go to Machu Picchu and Lake Titicaca. It's an incredible journey to go to Peru. It's for planetary and personal change. It's just a very high-energy place, and I encourage all of your listeners to come and read about it on my website, because it is life-changing. We do workshop. It's like a workshop on tour for 2 weeks. We spend a lot of time on the lake, and lots of miracles have happened on that lake in other trips that I have been in Peru. And next year we're going back to Egypt, and that was just extraordinary the first time we were there. It's just life-changing. It's just really incredible. So I'm glad you brought that up, and I'd love to have you on my journey. It would just really be potent to have you there, come along. And it's so essential for people, because when humanity is comfortable, they don't change. It's only when there's conflict or a little bit of challenge that goes on that humanity changes, that we change. And that's why taking people out of their familiar is so enlightening and so empowering for people.
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, you know, as well as we think we do in the day-to-day and as strong as the spiritual practice might be, I know for me personally, it is so important for me to take myself to the trip that you're talking about, Magical Peru. I mean, and the reason for that is, for me, it's about giving my vision enough room to breathe its greatness, its expansiveness. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And
absolutely.
That's just something I found about me, whether it's Peru, whether it's the high desert of California on a 7-day vision quest. It is just giving myself, without computers, without the time, giving myself to allow my vision to breathe. And it is so important right now. And I know today and this show is going to help so many people, you know, realize that awakening, as you said it, Paula, it really is a personal journey. I'll never forget the artichoke of, you know, visualization you gave. It was so important. I want to ask you as we wrap this up, what is your personal message? And thank you so much for joining us here today. Love the conversation. What is your personal message for everyone out there today?
My personal message for all of everyone today is believe that you're worthy of love. And it's a nice little mantra to say to yourself every moment of the day when the mind is going out of control. Continuously say, I believe I'm worthy of love. It starts to shift the negative to the positive, the limiting to the expansion. I believe I'm worthy of love.
What a great way to end the show. Paula Moran joining me here today. You've been listening to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. And as I said before, Paula Moran has much more on her website. Paula, thank you again for joining us here today.
Thank you, Dr. Pat. It was a pleasure. I'm so honored to be on your show.
I love that we're taking this journey together. And I want you all to remember, you're never alone. And if you ever forget about that, and you forget that there are so many people out there that are ready to make it happen for you, I'll keep reminding you. Until next week, join us all, hold hands together, and breathe deeply the vision of your life. And remember, believe that each and every one of us are worthy of love. We'll see you next week.
You're stepping down your soapboxes, way too high overgrown. The sky, your high horse is taking north and left of you, nowhere to be found, better off dead, or so you said, but don't worry, we all fall down somehow.
Oh, someday, not somehow, not maybe, we're gonna make it out alright, just not now.
And speak well of a stranger's soul, for you never know when it's your last step, final breath, throwing your gypsy dance on curtain call. Take your last bow, and that's all you're gonna get from me.
Oh,